Reading today is from the Gospel according to Luke. It's in the seventh chapter of your Bibles. And if you're going to look at the pew Bibles there in front of you in the rack, it's on page 840. I'm not going to read all the way into 8. I'm going to stop at the end of chapter 7. But you certainly can read the rest later. But Luke chapter 7, we meet up with Jesus at a dinner party with an uninvited guest, and we pick it up in verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at his table. And the woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. And she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. And she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now the Pharisee who had invited him saw it and said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman that was touching him, that she's a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts of both of them. "Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Amen. Nothing like preaching a sermon on forgiveness and love when one of the day's headlines in the Beacon Journal was "Death Penalty." What do we do with Ashford Thompson, who brutally executed police officer Joshua McTerrion doing his duty following what we paid him to do? What should we do with Ashford? On a different but perhaps wider scope, what about that Tony Hayward guy? A guy who's BP's CEO, Chief Executive Officer of BP, who is ultimately responsible for the actions of his country, company in destroying almost the Gulf with humongous and tremendous amounts of pollution in the form of an oil leak in the Gulf. He says he wants his life back. How can we ever forgive him? And from the serious and the expansive to perhaps the most emotional of all challenges to forgiveness, at least among our friends across the pond in England, How is Robert Green ever going to go anywhere again? He's a goalie for England's soccer team at the World Cup, and he had the ball in his hands, but somehow it jumped out and went into the goal and scored United States' score so that they could tie the game. Robert Green, if you read a lot of the electronic stuff going on, is one of the most hated and most made fun of persons in the world today for missing that save and not stopping that goal. Will he ever be forgiven? Or will that haunt him the rest of his life? Forgiveness is a tough thing. It goes from everything very serious and the most serious over the death and life and death matters, over about law and order and about social contracts and about even sympathy and empathy in the terms of the murder and the execution by Ashford Thompson, a jury only taking 3 hours to convict him of the death penalty, is certainly one that is tremendously horrid type of killing. What does love and forgiveness have to say about that? What does love and forgiveness have to say about BP and the greatest oil spill destroying such a major part of our planet? And of course, our sports things are probably held with the most emotion and the most memory and the least amount of forgiveness. Founders Day celebrates Alcoholics Anonymous. They have a 12-step program that has been copied by many recovery groups for those that are dealing with addictions, everything from overeating to narcotics to sex, all sorts of addictions, have followed the 12-step program that was founded right here in Akron, Ohio. And today, perhaps my parents aren't here because they couldn't get by all the motorcycles going to the cemetery down at Aqueduct, a few blocks from my home. But in the Founders Day tradition is based on 12 steps. 12 of those steps have two of those steps of the 12 are 8 and 9. 8 is that to take an inventory of everyone that they have harmed and be willing to make amends. That's a whole step all by itself. Cotton out everything and be willing to make amends. And then 9 is make an amends, unless doing so would cause harm to the other person. To fix things where we have done wrong. For a couple seasons, there was a kind of entertaining television show. My Name is Earl. Maybe you saw it a couple times. He became insanely rich in the beginning, and he set off to set right, to set straight in his life all those that he had harmed, and seeking to restore and to be forgive. Forgiveness starts with awareness. Of being needed to forgive. In murder trials, there's in the death penalty phrase, you sometimes see people saying how sorry they are and how sad they are. And people discount that or accept it. One of the things that have been so often about Tony Hayward and BP, they don't take responsibility. They don't say they're sorry or don't grovel enough or don't ask for forgiveness. First step in being forgiven is knowing that you need forgiveness. Our story today of Jesus at a dinner party hosted by a Pharisee named Simon is also includes in it yet another story of forgiveness told by Jesus, of a person who forgave the debts of two debtors. Now, 50 and 500 denarii was a minimum day's wage. So a day's worth of labor at minimum wage, 50 of those or 500 of those. Reasonable amounts, and both of them were canceled. And in Jesus' story, Both of them were forgiven, and he says, he brings love into the forgiveness equation. He says, who loved them more? And Simon the Pharisee said, well, I suppose the one who you forgave more. And Jesus said he was right. And then Jesus goes on and looks into what's and brings that home to Simon. See, at the beginning of this, Simon in his own head, in his own mind, muttering to himself, I don't know, I think if he was, you know, around today, he'd be maybe tweeting this. You know, hey, Jesus at dinner, sinner woman touching his feet. What's going on? Something like that. He was saying to himself that there was a sinner that Jesus was letting touch him. Now, back then, it was not more than just a social awkwardness. It wasn't just somebody talking during a movie. It wasn't just someone looks at their electronic devices when they're supposed to be talking to you or talks to you while looking at the computer screen or all those other faux pas that we do moderately. It was more than that. When someone touches you that's unclean, you become unclean. When someone unholy touches you, it sucks the holy right out of you. When someone who can't go into the temple touches you, you can't go into the temple. So it was extreme religious kind of contagion, an infection that this woman was spreading. And the Pharisee would be very aware of that. They were good and religious people. And you say, why is he letting her do that? She's a sinner. Now, in our picture in our bulletin, you see them all sitting at a nice table in the Middle Ages in a castle somewhere, and that's lovely and that's wonderful. But what they probably were doing, as scripture alludes to, is that they were probably laying on their stomach, as the custom was, propped up on their left, with their left hand, and eating with their right. And they were laying down, and of course, with their head toward the table and their dirty feet away from the table as much as possible. And so that's how the woman got up behind him, was able to anoint his feet. Shouldn't he know what a sinner she is? Says Simon. If he's a prophet, if he knows these things, shouldn't he be able to call out and know the person that's touching him is a sinner? Shouldn't he know who the sinners in the room are? Unfortunately for Simon, not only does he know about her sins, Jesus seems to know that the Pharisee is not sinless either. Because he said in the story of the forgiving two debts, he seems to definitely place the woman as a greater debt, as a greater sinner, as more numerous, or more times, or more seriousness. But he doesn't let Simon off the hook. Calls Simon by name and says, Simon, you know, you didn't do any of these things because you were forgiven little, and she was forgiven much. And somehow you try to tease it out of there. Which comes first, the love or the forgiveness? Did she get forgiven because of the loving things that she did? Or it seems that she was loving him because she was forgiven in the first place. Jesus seems to mess all that up and cause and effect. It goes one way and then the other. And I think that was intentional on Luke's part to tell us that you cannot tease out and separate in a cause and effect relationship, love and forgiveness. If you want one, you got to have the other. If you want love, you have to be forgiven. Not just you have to forgive, but you have to be forgiven yourself. You have to look at your own self in the terms of the 12 steps. You have to take an inventory and be willing to make amends and go and make those amends. There we have them both, awareness of the need for forgiveness and two, the actual action of love, right there in the 12 steps, 8 and 9. How do you have more love in your life? Be aware of the forgiveness that you have received. First, be aware that your need for forgiveness, as Simon was unaware. Simon was counting the sinners in a room and forgot to include himself. Don't make the same mistake and miss out on great love from Christ. We need to know our own need for forgiveness. and accept it in love. And look what Jesus says at the beginning. At the end, he says, your faith has saved you. Where was the faith in that? It just suddenly pops up there at the end. But it seems like faith is the union and the interplay of forgiveness, acceptance of forgiveness, and the response and love. And that is a pretty good definition of faith. The acceptance of the need of forgiveness and the response in love. Where does that leave us? Well, in the silly example of World Cup soccer, not silly to some people, but in World Cup soccer, you know, we're going to see that film click. I've seen it at least five times of the ball going by the goalie. And when my children, both of my children somehow, were chosen to play goalie on their soccer team, I always told all the parents on the team, that ball got by all your kids before it got by mine. Think about it. I mean, need forgiveness isn't just for the goalie. In a perfect world, the ball wouldn't even be down there. There's not just one sinner on the field, not just one that falls short, but all. But that BP Gulf, surely there's nothing in there that we can learn about us being at the same table as the executive of BP, Tony Hayward. How are we at the same table of him in forgiveness? Well, I'm telling you this, BP didn't go out there and drill that oil down more than a mile into the Gulf because they were just like to and it was a hobby and fun for them. We paid them to do it. In our name and for our sake, they went out there and drilled down that oil because we're willing to pay for it, and we have sucked dry all the easy oil in the world. There's all those other team players on the field. BP was just the goalie that got caught. And you know, you think about it some more. What if everything went okay? What if there was never a spill? What if everything was just perfectly all right in that drilling and the oil came up and it went through the pipe and it went up to the ship and into the tanker and the tanker went to the port and the port took the oil off, the oil went out and it was into the refinery and it made into products that we use and it went out and it was burned in our cars and our power plants and our trucks and our engines and released into the atmosphere. One way or the other, that oil was going to be spilled into the environment, either in the ocean of water or the ocean of air. BP's just the goalie that got caught on the news. If you want more love, you have to know where you are in need of forgiveness. Okay, Christy, but surely we didn't murder any police officer. Christy, you can't put us in with murderer. No, I don't. I don't equate sins together. Jesus didn't say that. Didn't say that they all owed equally. He says one owed 50, one owed 500. One was a greater sinner than the other. Sure, but the important thing is here is not to put us in a different kind of box or not at a different kind of place at the table with Jesus Christ. The only play people at the table with Christ are sinners. Some sin more than others. But as a result, some are forgiven more than others, and some love more than others. If we have ever, ever done something that benefited ourselves and harmed someone else, if we have ever tried to cover up something that we did at the expense of someone else taking the blame or paying the cost, we're out there on that road with Ashford Thompson. Even Jesus says that if any of you have been angry with your brothers or sister, you're guilty of murder. Not that they're the same, not that it doesn't matter, not that there's a difference in morality between them, but it says that you're just as much a sinner. You're in the sinner camp. You're at the feet of Jesus, thanking him for forgiveness and responding in love, which we call faith. And when you take yourself out of the places and the evil and the fallenness and the sin of the world, when you take yourself out of that and say, I don't need forgiveness, you take yourself out of God's love. You take yourself out of faith. You take yourself out of Jesus Christ. You rely upon the law that cannot save, as we read in Galatians, instead of God's grace that saves all sinners. One of the great crises of our time is that we believe we're not at, that we belong at the table with Christ instead of at the feet of Christ. Think of all the divisions and all the problems and all the hate and all the arguments that are currently in this country, in this world, and it is because we believe that we have nothing that we have done wrong, that there is nothing that needs forgiveness, that somehow the other is of a totally different type, and that God certainly should know what kind of person that is and send them away and be only with us. That somehow people we disagree with are great Satans or communists or socialists or awful, awful people instead of fellow sinners in need of forgiveness of God and in need of responding in love. How can there be more love? Want more love in your life? Seek forgiveness. You can do all 12 of the steps of AA. I recommend it to anyone. But maybe just 8 and 9 would be good. Figuring out what you need to be forgiven for and seeking to make amends when you can. For in that forgiveness, as you are forgiven, you will find capacity for love. And as you forgive others, for we are all in need of forgiveness, you will increase the amount of love in the world. And forgiveness combined with the response of love is what is called faith and what leads to shalom, peace. Amen.